New year has already unveiled a few exciting new things happening in the life of our church. With the start of a new year, we have added a couple of new pastors that started on January 1st, Pastor Janice Rudolph, Pastor Mary Forrester. We're excited about the new things that the Lord's doing there and the great blessings that they already are. And so just we look forward to more great things that the Lord has in store in this new year. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 21 in just a minute. But before we get to the reading, I just want to just kind of remind you of a practice that we have in the life of the church. When we read the scripture and we finish reading the scripture, the pastor will say the word of the Lord, and then it's an invitation for the whole church to respond by saying thanks be to God. And when we're doing that, one of the things that we're saying is that this isn't any ordinary reading, right? This, when we come to the Holy Scriptures, when we read the Bible, this isn't just another book, right? This isn't just another reading, but this really is the word of the Lord, and we're thankful for the opportunity. And so after I finish reading the passage this morning, I'm gonna say the word of the Lord, and that's your invitation to respond with a great big hearty thanks be to God. Would you stand with me this morning as we hear the word together? Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 21. On the eighth day, that is the eighth day after Jesus' birth, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all the nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she had been a widow for 84 years. She never left the temple, but she worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Are you ready? Folks, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. He had seen a lot in all of his days. He had seen false prophets and would-be messiahs come and go. He had seen babies born and old friends die. He had seen Herods and Caesars throw their weight around. He had seen the landscape of Jerusalem change over the decades. Old Simeon had seen a lot in all of his days. Now, Luke does not tell us specifically that Simeon was old. He never describes Simeon as old, but we can gather that Simeon was probably old, since that Luke says that Simeon knew that he was waiting to put his eyes on one last thing before he died. Simeon lived in Jerusalem. Luke says that Simeon was righteous and devout. He was a religious man. But more importantly than just being a religious man, Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit was on Simeon. The Holy Spirit had him, covered him, settled on top of him. And as old Simeon spent his days, he spent his days waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the hope of the Jews, waiting for the Savior of the world. The Holy Spirit had told Simeon that he would not die before he put his eyes on the one to come. So Simeon spent his days tapping his walking stick around the streets of Jerusalem, squinting at priests and prophets and young and old, trying to see if he could see the one to come. Years had passed and old Simeon kept on looking. People probably saw old Simeon coming and they said, "Oh, it's old Simeon again. Don't pay him any mind. He's a silly old man." People probably looked at Simeon about the same way they looked at Anna. Now, Luke never tells us Simeon's vocation. Luke never says what it was that Simeon did for a living, but Luke tells us that Anna was a prophet or a prophetess. She was called by God to speak the truth of the Lord to the people. In other words, she was a preacher. Anna had been married for a brief 7 years. When her husband died, she spent the remainder of her life as a widow. Now, the Greek is very unclear in verse 37. Either Anna was 84 years old at the time that this story happened, or it had been 84 years since her husband died. We don't know which one it is. The Greek could be translated either way. So either Anna is 84 or she's 84 plus. Either way, Luke wants us to know that Anna was not a spring chicken. Luke not only tells us that she was old, but Luke says that she was very old. Now, if Luke had been a polite southerner with good manners, he would not have said that about a lady. He wouldn't have mentioned her age. Luke doesn't tell us the age of the man, but Luke says that the lady was very old. If Luke had been a polite southerner with good manners, he would have called the guy very old, and he wouldn't have touched the lady's age, right? But that's what he does. He doesn't say anything about the man, but he calls the lady very old. Anna, she lived in the temple of the Lord. And just like Simeon, Anna was very religious. But just like Simeon, Anna was more than just a religious person. She worshiped and she fasted and she prayed continually, night and day and night and day. And she did more than just spend her time observing her religion. She spent her life with the Lord. She lived in the temple. She spent all of her life with her Lord. And she preached. This woman preached. She preached about the child who was to come. She preached about the one they were looking forward to seeing. She preached about the one who would be the redemption of Jerusalem. She preached about the Savior of the world. She preached. Both Simeon and Anna were probably regarded as relics in their day. The people in and around Jerusalem probably looked at Simeon and Anna and saw them as antiques. They probably looked at Simeon and Anna as kind of fixtures in Jerusalem around the temple, just like the other fixtures around the temple, the lampstands and the altar. There's Simeon, there's Anna. They were just fixtures, just like everything else. They were just old people on the side, in the way, just there. Simeon and Anna were probably disregarded and dismissed. Simeon and Anna were probably mostly ignored in their day. Oh, maybe people patted them on the heads every once in a while and said, "Sweet old man, sweet old lady." Both of them, old Simeon and old Anna, were probably regarded as irrelevant. But they didn't care. Simeon and Anna lived on their tiptoes. For decades, Simeon and Anna lived on their tiptoes, confidently waiting to see the new thing that God was going to do. One day, Luke tells us, the Holy Spirit moved Simeon to the temple. Now, the Holy Spirit already had Anna in the temple. The Holy Spirit was keeping Anna in the temple. But the Holy Spirit, on this particular day, moved Simeon to the temple. And on this day, they were joined together. The Holy Spirit had both of them there in the temple for what the Holy Spirit was about to do on that day. Jesus had just been circumcised, as was Jewish custom. He was circumcised on his eighth day. And on his day of circumcision, he was given his name, as was Jewish custom, and that ceremony probably took place in a home. And now, at the point of this story, Jesus is probably about 6 weeks old, and they're adhering to the Jewish laws and the Jewish customs. And so Mary and Joseph brought the baby to the temple. This is the first time for the baby to be in the temple. This is the first time for the baby to be in public. This is the first time for the family to be out in the open. They're there for the purification ritual for the mother. After giving birth and waiting 40 days, the mother is to go to the temple to go through a purification ritual. They're also there for the consecration of the child. And so in keeping, once again, with Jewish laws and customs, they brought an offering that was required, that was two pigeons or two doves that they brought with them. Now, two pigeons or two doves was an offering of the poor. If Mary and Joseph had been wealthy, they would have probably offered a lamb and a dove or something like that, something that was a little bit more costly, something that was a little bit more extravagant. But since Mary and Joseph were poor, they offered up the two birds. And when they arrived for the ritual in the temple courts, no sooner had they walked through the corridor when their baby was suddenly snatched out of their arms. It was old Simeon. He let his walking stick fall to the floor so he could cradle the baby in his bony arms. He trembled as he probably held the baby close up to his eyes, the baby swiping at his beard, and the old man crying as he was praising God. He said, "Lord, it's just like you promised. Now I can die in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation." And old Simeon spoke a blessing over the Holy Family. He talked about the child's destiny, about telling Mary that what will eventually happen to her child won't be easy, that it's going to end up breaking her heart, that the road ahead is of God. It is the path that God has laid out, that it is good and it is right, but it's going to be hard. Mary and Joseph stood speechless. They were astonished. They were just coming to dedicate the baby. They weren't expecting all this. And that's when Anna shuffled her feet into the scene. She must have heard all the commotion that Simeon was making. When she saw the baby too, she knew, and she gave thanks to God for what was taking place. So Anna started doing what Anna does. Anna started preaching about how this child is the one who they had been waiting for. And while this scene was taking place, people were probably just buzzing by all around them, tending to their religious business. People were probably walking by, seeing the commotion there in the temple, saying, "Oh, it's just old Simeon. It's nothing. It's just old Anna. It's just old Simeon and Anna. Don't pay them any mind. Silly old folks." And the people kept moving all around the temple, going about their business, buying and selling and gabbing and humming and all that stuff, going about their religious business, ignoring what was happening right there before their eyes. And Simeon and Anna probably looked at one another and reminded each other of Isaiah chapter 43, when the prophet Isaiah said, well, when God said through the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing and you don't perceive it." Because here, what was happening, the God of the universe was doing a new thing through the power of the Holy Spirit in the temple on that day, and the people who were buzzing around tending to their religious business, they did not perceive it. The Holy Spirit was doing a new thing in their midst. The Holy Spirit was unveiling the Savior of the world, the hope of the Jews, and it was happening right there. It was happening right there in the temple. Luke talks about the temple more than the other gospel writers. Luke focuses so much time on the temple. The temple of the Lord for the Jewish people was considered to be the place where heaven meets earth. The Jews looked upon the temple as the one location where heaven and earth intersect. Heaven and earth interlock, overlap at this place, at the temple. And so the new thing that the Holy Spirit was doing that day was showing the people that everything that the temple used to represent for the Jews, this child now symbolizes. One day, this temple that they're standing in at the time, one day this temple is going to be cleared. One day the temple curtain is going to be torn in two. The temple is going to pass away. From now on, the message that is being sent, from now on, from this point forward, heaven and earth intersect in this baby. Heaven and earth overlap and interlock in this child. The Holy Spirit was doing something new that day, and so many people missed it because they were going about their religious business. And only two people who we know of had the eyes to see it. Simeon and Anna, they didn't need to see heaven split open for them to know. They didn't need to hear angels explaining to them what was happening like the shepherds needed to hear. They didn't need to see visions or dreams like Joseph or like the wise men. They didn't need to see miracles or signs. Simeon and Anna just knew. They just saw the child and they knew. How did they know? They knew because they lived their lives close to the Lord. For them, for Simeon and Anna, their lives were more than just them going about their religious business. For them, it was because they genuinely worshiped and prayed and fasted, because they spent decades of their lives on their tiptoes waiting for what God was going to do, because they lived their entire lives oriented toward their God, because the Holy Spirit of God was on top of them. See, Simeon and Anna, they were religious people, but this wasn't just happening because they were religious people, because there were so many religious people there that day who missed it. They were the ones walking by, buzzing around, doing their religious business, and they missed it. Simeon and Anna perceived it. They saw it. They recognized what God was doing because the Holy Spirit was on them, because they were walking their whole lives close to the Lord. And because the Holy Spirit was on them, because they were close to the Lord, they were the ones who saw the new thing that God was doing right there before their eyes. What I love most about this story is that it was the older people who saw the new thing. I love that. I love that it was the older people in the story who saw the new thing. The people who saw the new thing that the Holy Spirit was doing on that day weren't the young ones. They weren't the hip ones. They weren't the relevant ones. Folks, all of the young, hip, relevant people were the ones who missed it. They were the ones just walking by. But in this story, it was the older people who saw the new thing. You know, there are a lot of people who wrongly assume, who make this terrible stereotype that says, if you're older, then you're set in your ways, you're past your prime, you're fickle, and you are less likely to see something new. That's the stereotype. That's how people look at older people. But in this story says otherwise, doesn't it? It was the older people who were the ones who saw the new thing that God was doing. You know, this church, this local church, Waverly Church of the Nazarene, has gotten some attention over the years. It's really become known. This local church has become known in a lot of places as a church that is healthy and vibrant and missional, and we just say thanks be to God for that. And I get approached fairly often, and people ask me, pastors or people who attend other churches in other places ask me, well, how does that happen? Of course, I always first give credit to God, but you know, one of the first things I say to people about our church is I brag upon some of the most senior members of our church. I brag on some of the most senior members of our church. Some of you are here today. Some of the most senior members of our church have already gone to be with the Lord. But I brag on the most senior members of our church because a lot of the changes, a lot of the strides that we've made over the years would not have happened without the permission and the support of some of our most senior folks. You know, people think if you're older that you don't like any newer songs, that you're just totally against them. You don't want to build a new building. You just want to stay put. You don't want anything changed. You don't want anything new. If it's new, you don't like anything about it. You're fickle. You're set in your ways. You're past your prime. You're the stereotype of the cranky, get off my lawn kind of an old person. That's what people think. And I get to tell people, not here. That's not the case in our church. In fact, some of our most senior folks are the ones who have not just allowed change, but pushed for change over the years. Pushed me, been behind me, pushing me for change over the years. Some of our most senior folks have been the ones who have been leading the way. And some of our most senior folks of our church are the ones who have shattered all the myths and stereotypes that the world buys into about older people. And folks, to that, I just say thanks be to God. I get to pastor a church where older people are seeing new things. And I just thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that. And I say that with every bit of humility and respect that I could possibly muster up. See, the Holy Spirit's always moving. The Holy Spirit's always hovering. The Holy Spirit's always working and brewing. It happened in the very beginning in Genesis 1:1. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the chaos and brought forth life to do a new thing. The Holy Spirit hovered over Mary's womb and brought forth life in Mary's womb to do a new thing. The Holy Spirit's always hovering and moving and brewing to bring about a new thing from God. And the truth is, when the Holy Spirit is at work, moving and hovering and brewing to do a new thing, He wants you to see it. He wants you to see the new thing that He's doing so that you can join in and participate. And it has very little to do with how old you are, but it has everything to do with how close to the Lord you are. And if you're walking with Him, and if the Holy Spirit is on you, if you're genuinely seeking to live your life oriented toward Him, then when He's wanting to do a new thing in your midst, you see it. You perceive it because the Holy Spirit's on you, because you're with Him, and then you're able to grab hold of the new thing that God wants to do. You're able to see the new things that the Lord wants to do. I just believe that with a new year ahead, that the Lord wants to do some new things. I believe that the Lord wants to take some marriages that have gone off the tracks, or maybe some marriages that were never on the tracks to begin with, and make them Christian marriages that are centered on Christ. And more than just in name, more than just because the wedding happened in a church, or more than just because a preacher did it, but truly marriages that are centered on Christ. I believe the Lord wants to break some addictions of alcohol and drugs and pornography and whatever other addictions have you in their grip. I believe that in 2016, the Lord wants to lead some of you into some uncharted waters when it comes to finding your place to serve the Lord. Folks, I'm just going to be honest, and some of you might get upset with me by saying this, but there are some of us who have gone far, far, far too long without finding your place to serve the Lord. I believe there are some of us who the Lord's talking to us about repairing a relationship that's been broken and reconciling. And He's calling on you to forgive that person. And in your mind, you're thinking it's their fault and it's their job to come to me. And the Holy Spirit's working on you to be the one to initiate forgiveness and reconciliation. I believe the Lord's calling some of us to renounce the spirit of negativity or the spirit of anger or the spirit of, you fill in the blank of anything that's not of Christ that covers you, that has you. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to stretch you to be more generous with what you have. I believe that for so many of us, the Lord wants us to experience his sanctifying grace as you surrender more of your life to him and grow in that grace so that you can become more like Christ. I believe that the Lord wants to teach some of us to let go of our prejudices and our judgments and our attitudes that are not of Christ. I believe that there are a number of us who the Lord wants to bring deeper into a life of prayer and communion with the Lord each and every day. But folks, it's not just about you and your individual lives. I believe that the Lord has some great new things in store for our whole church for the new year. I believe there are new ministries on the horizon, that there's a new passion for Christ that needs to be renewed, new structures for leadership, new methods, new and different things that we don't even know about yet, that we don't even yet perceive. I believe that in 2016, our Lord wants to do some new things in our midst. After all, this is the God who, the Bible says, this is the God who makes everything new, and he wants to do more than he wants to make you new and me new and us new and do some new things in us and for us and with us and through us. And the only way we're going to be able to perceive it, the only way we're going to be able to see it, to grab hold of it, is if we're living so close to him that when that new thing comes, you won't miss it. I don't want us to be like the religious people on that day who are just buzzing around, going about their religious business. I don't want us to be people like the ones in the temple that day who just walked by, who missed it. The ones who said, oh, that's just old Simeon, that's just old, don't pay them any mind. I don't want us to be like those who were living that way, but instead I want us to live our lives like Simeon and Anna, living our lives on our tiptoes, so close to the Lord, waiting for the new thing that he is going to do in our midst. I want 2016 to be a year in which we as a church live our lives on our tiptoes, so close to him with his spirit on top of us. And when he does a new thing in our midst, I want us to be people who see it, who perceive it, who grab hold of it. Church, would you stand with me? We're gonna sing here in just a minute. Most people this time of year think, okay, this is the new thing. This is the new thing I want to do, my resolution or whatever it might be. This is my new thing, my diet or my commitment, or I'm going to quit this, or I'm going to, and most people do that thing. This is my new thing. Lord, bless it. This is my new thing that I want to do. Lord, would you bless it? That's the focus of so many people. Instead, I want to call us to something deeper and richer than that. Instead, maybe we should be praying, Lord, what new thing do you want to do? Lord, what new thing do you want to do in my life, in my family, in my church? What new thing do you want to do, Lord? And God, would you give me the eyes to see it so I can take hold of it? So this morning, we're just going to go back to singing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I want us to begin this time in this year oriented with our eyes and our lives to him. And as we sing this song and as we make this our prayer, the altar's open. If you want to come and if you want to meet with him and if you want to say, Lord, I give myself to you. I want to live my life on my tiptoes so I can perceive the new thing that you want to do in me and in us. Would you make this your prayer as we sing together? The altar's open if you'd like to come and pray.